You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Broncos country, what is up? This is Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos, and on tonight's show, we're going to kind of detail some crazy news, not particularly news that is directly apparent to the Denver Broncos, but something that could be effective towards the Denver Broncos going forward in the future, and that's regarding Eli Manning. We'll talk about that here in just a few moments. Also, awaiting word on Aqib Talib's fate. The Denver Broncos and John Elway, Aqib Talib, Vance Joseph both sat in on Aqib Talib's appeal hearing this morning, and John Elway came out saying he thought it went well and that Aqib was trying to defend himself. And realistically, when you go back and you look at the game tape, you go back and you look at the little scuffle that they had, it all started. You know, Michael Crabtree was blocking Aqib Talib, excessively blocked him out of bounds into a photographer after he ripped the chain. And at that point, Aqib Talib got up and defended himself. You know, I like the scuffle. You already heard my thoughts on it. And a lot of other people love the scuffle, too. If you listen to last night's Locked On Broncos, guess what? Everybody said that was the most fight from the Denver Broncos we've seen in 7 weeks. And absolutely, I agree with them. So we're going to hear it. We're going to find out exactly what Aqib Talib's fate is. Is he going to be out against the Miami Dolphins? We'll have to see. And then obviously the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday Night Football. But, you know, I think Aqib Talib, I tweeted it earlier. I don't think the NFL has really created something that sets a precedent for this move to the suspension of 2 games to be upheld. When I talk about that is, let's take a look at how they handled A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey's skirmish that they had. A.J. Green came up from behind Jalen Ramsey, grabbed him around the neck, and then started throwing punches, and he didn't get suspended at all. So at that point, I think you fine both these guys. I don't think you suspend them. I think them being ejected from the game was enough to punish them. Obviously, with a big fine to be coming through a FedEx envelope probably tomorrow morning at their locker in FedEx. You know, the NFL office is always good about their Wednesday deliveries of NFL fines. But overall, my man Aqib Talib had the best thing, you know, to summarize what's going on.
Our plan was to do what we do. You know we do. That's what we did.
I love it. I love it. Let's play it again. Aqib, roll it back.
Our plan was to do what we do. You know we do. That's what we did.
I love it. I tell you what, man, Aqib Talib, his personality makes him a huge favorite in my eyes. I love Aqib Talib. You know what? I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only one. Maybe I'm the only one who's played football for 14, 15 years at the cornerback position. Maybe I'm the only one. I doubt it. But maybe I'm the only one who really enjoyed seeing Aqib Talib go after Crabtree. Now, it's no secret. Michael Crabtree, over the years, has developed a reputation for being a dirty player. Okay? Richard Sherman called him out on it. Richard Sherman got in Michael Crabtree's head. Don't you ever try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree. I remember that interview plain and well. I loved it because Crabtree ran his mouth, is one of the most unsportsmanlike players in the National Football League. Aqib Talib knows that. Chris Harris Jr. knows that. Now I go back and watch the coach's film, and I see a better angle. And Crabtree does take a shot at Chris Harris Jr. Now, the side angle, the broadcast angle that you see on CBS television, the one that the video that they're circulating, you can't really tell. People think, oh, it was just a block. Well, go back and watch the coach's film. You can see he gets a quick jab in at Chris Harris Jr.'s gut, and then he looks around. He looks completely. He does a 360 look around to make sure nobody saw it. He was looking for that. Now, that's suspicious behavior 101. It doesn't take a psychologist to figure that out. And evidently, that's the way it goes. So Aqib Talib, you know what? You're going to attack one of my players, I'm going to go after you on the next play. We saw it last year. Denver did the same thing against Harry Douglas Jr. when Harry Douglas took a very dirty, cheap shot on Chris Harris Jr.'s knee. The whole Broncos defense. It was Aqib Talib who lined up on him, grabbed him, put him on the ground, and that's when the scuffle began against the Tennessee Titans last year in Tennessee. So, you know, I'm okay for that. When you're sticking up for your teammate, and Vance Joseph, he kind of did a little backtracking on this. Vance Joseph came out and said, you know, when it's to defend a teammate, I like it. I'm all for it. I'm all for you defending your teammate. Absolutely. Any of you guys who have played football, okay, you got to understand, like I said, and let me clarify this. I'm all for the scuffle. Now, my comments regarding being all for the scuffle revolt back to you don't throw punches, you don't take a helmet off, you don't try to use the helmet as a weapon, but you get into a verbal altercation, you shove each other. Absolutely. I'm all for that. That stuff right there jacks me up, gets me excited, and when you're on the football field and that happens and you got somebody who takes a shot at your boy and you go out the next play and you get in his head, you cause a little skirmish, that energizes everybody. The whole entire defense or the offense, whoever it may be, the whole team is energized and they're looking. So I think that's important for us to kind of take note, especially with all the surrounding Twitter drama and everybody saying, oh, well, Aqib Talib's a punk, he's a thug, he's a dirty player. You know what, man? Get rid of that narrative. Get rid of that narrative. Most of that is coming from Raiders fans, a lot of Raiders fans who, in my opinion, when we're talking about class and thug stuff and dirty play, let's not even talk. I don't even want to hear from Raiders fans, because if you watch videos from how Raiders fans act in the stands down there in Oakland, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's stupid. It's guys hitting each other over the head with bottles, getting into fist fights. Some people get stabbed. I mean, it's ridiculous. So don't, Raiders fans, don't even come at me with that crap, especially when Raiders fans have a very negative history in terms of demonstrating nonviolence as well. So a look ahead to tonight's show. We've got, obviously, the talk of the town, the talk of the NFL, Eli Manning being benched by the New York Giants. Now, I'm going to talk about the whole angle about Eli Manning coming to Denver. I'll pitch that here just ahead here on tonight's show, as well as waiting word on Aqib Talib's his fate. Is he going to be gone for two games? If not, we're waiting to find that out, and hopefully we get to find out here while we're doing Locked On Broncos. So that's a look ahead to tonight's show. So getting back to it, everything, let's dive into obviously the first topic, Eli Manning benched essentially by Ben McAdoo and the Giants. And to be honest with you, if you go on Twitter right now and you search Eli Manning or you type in Ben McAdoo, you're going to see some very funny results, specifically when you search on Twitter for tweets that contain the words Ben McAdoo. Now, Ben McAdoo has become one of the most hated people in the National Football League since Chip Kelly. And I could tell you what, I don't know. I just look at a guy like Eli Manning, a guy who's taken that team to two Super Bowls, whose heroics have won them two Super Bowls. Obviously, an amazing catch by David Tyree against the previously undefeated New England Patriots. They won the Super Bowl that year. A couple years later, you go back and play the Patriots, and it's not even a close game. They beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl pretty easily, pretty handily. Eli Manning, in my opinion, hasn't had a very good supporting cast around him for quite some time. Now, I think that changes a little bit. I think the narrative changes a little bit when you add in some different weapons. Now, we saw what Eli Manning and the Giants can do with Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. Eli Manning is very smart, okay? Now, he's not Peyton Manning, okay? He's not the guy who threw for 55,000 yards in a season. 500 yards in a season, 55 touchdowns in a season, broke the NFL record. He's a guy who's very cerebral. Now, him and Peyton Manning have worked together every offseason, and they always go to David Cutcliffe's quarterback camp down there at Duke University. And to be honest with you, I think Eli Manning is a guy who his veteran leadership, his knowledge of the game, his ability to play the quarterback position efficiently and well, in my opinion, under the right system, can thrive, especially with a defense. Now, I don't believe that Vance Joseph, Joe Woods, any of those guys are going to be back on the Broncos next year. I think we're going to have a new coaching staff. Now, maybe you have a guy like John Gruden who comes out of retirement to coach the Denver Broncos. Maybe you lure Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan to come coach the Denver Broncos. Why not? Why not? You bring in, you have answers, you have problems right now. You have question marks, very evident question marks on this Denver Broncos roster at the quarterback position. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler. You have a guy who's on injured reserve inactive, Chad Kelly. You essentially have four quarterbacks that are on the Denver Broncos roster in some way, shape, or form, active, inactive, and you have no real plan with either of them. Paxton Lynch is probably done for the rest of the year. He may play the last week, last 2 weeks of the NFL regular season, but what kind of measurement or analysis are you going to be able to get on Paxton Lynch when you're trying to figure out, okay, is this guy going to be a quarterback of the future for the Denver Broncos? If not, we're going to move forward. I gave the suggestion last night on last night's Locked On Broncos. I said the Denver Broncos, through free agency, need to either pursue via free agency or via trade to get a veteran quarterback, a guy who's been in the league for a long time, a very reliable veteran quarterback who is evidently better than what the Denver Broncos have right now, a quarterback. And you draft in the first round with the top five pick, you draft a quarterback. You draft a guy who you think is going to be prolific, Lamar Jackson. I think those are guys, a Darnold, a Rosen. I think you draft one of those three guys as a potentially franchise quarterback for the future, and you let them sit behind whoever the veteran guy is and develop. You bring in an offensive coaching staff that is tailor-made to understand offensive schemes and help. Heck, you know what? Joe Ellis and Peyton Manning were just playing golf together this past weekend. Peyton Manning had a hole-in-one, if you didn't read about that, and it was witnessed by Joe Ellis, Brandon Stokely. Bring Peyton Manning in. What is Peyton Manning is trying to figure out what he wants to do, but you know, his biggest thing right now that he does, guess what he does? He goes and he watches Eli Manning play on Sundays. He supports his brother when he's not playing in the National Football League. Now, I'm telling you, this has the perfect recipe for Eli Manning to the Denver Broncos, and how amazing would that be to have two Manning brothers on the Denver Broncos, and how amazing would it be for two Manning brothers to win a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos? And I think it's possible. You bring in a guy like Eli, you keep this defense intact. Obviously, you're going to make some upgrades at the inside linebacker position, maybe make a move in the secondary. But overall, I really do believe if you address the offensive line through free agency, you know, the draft, you have the opportunity, if you bring Eli Manning in, to immediately contend. I think you have the opportunity to contend because the quarterback play, the offensive play will be better. It will be better immediately under a guy like Eli Manning in the Denver Broncos offense, whatever it may be, whoever may be running it. Eli Manning would be that guy, in my honest opinion. And I would be super comfortable with having Eli Manning as the Denver Broncos quarterback. Two Manning brothers, two Super Bowls. Let's imagine that. Okay, both have two Super Bowl rings, and it would be the perfect motivation for Eli Manning to eventually get three over Peyton and say, hey, I got a Super Bowl ring on your former team. I've got three. I've got one more than you do. You know, I could see that. That's a sibling rivalry that Peyton Manning and Eli Manning have, but it's just an absolute shame what Ben McAdoo and the New York Giants franchise is doing to a guy like Eli Manning, especially starting a guy like Geno Smith. Are you kidding me? If that's not evidence that the Giants are purposely trying to tank, then I don't know what is. Geno Smith is absolutely terrible. He's one of the worst quarterbacks that I've seen since Jamarcus Russell in the National Football League. He doesn't have it. He's not the guy. But they're going to put him at quarterback ahead of Eli Manning, a veteran, a guy who's done so much for the New York Giants franchise, and they're just going to turn his back on him right now. Now, he met with the media today, and I absolutely applaud him. That just goes to show how professional and how classy Eli Manning is as a human being. And all while doing this, you could tell he was fighting back tears. He doesn't know what his future looks like right now, and he doesn't know if that's the last time he'll suit up in a New York Giants uniform. I think it's absolutely ridiculous when you look across the board this Sunday for all the teams, all the people who are at quarterback minus Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and obviously some other teams that are playing really good football right now. The NFL quarterback situation right now is a joke. It's a joke, and primarily it's a joke in Denver, and it just furtherly shows that, you know what, go with Eli Manning. Why not? You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars may have a lot of money. They may be able to opt out of what they have in regards to Blake Bortles, but I think overall it's important to note the New York Giants and obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars, they haven't been to the Super Bowl in a while. specifically Jacksonville. They haven't went to the Super Bowl. Now they have a very good defense right now. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, wait till they play an actual team. Wait till they go out there and they play a New England Patriots, or they go and they play a Philadelphia Eagles team, one of the top teams right now in the National Football League. Watch how they do. I guarantee it. I absolutely would bet money on it right now. They would lose. Now people are saying, well, Eli Manning to the Jaguars is almost a certain because Tom Coughlin is over there, and Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning obviously have a history being former coach player. I just think that at this point of Eli Manning's career, he wants to go somewhere where he can win. And right now, you know, the Jaguars are winning. They have a better record than the Denver Broncos. But I'm thinking about it long term. I think the Denver Broncos are the better option, because guess who recently contended for a Super Bowl? The Denver Broncos. Guess who has an elite pass rusher in Von Miller? The Denver Broncos. Who do they have as an elite pass rusher down there in Jacksonville? They have a guy, Malik Jackson, who doesn't really see the field that much. Okay, that really works out. They have a very good, young, and talented secondary with Jalen Ramsey, Deshaun Gibson, and others. Absolutely. But the Denver Broncos are the most enticing place to go for Eli Manning, and it's because of history. Peyton Manning rejuvenated his career after being considered not to ever play again, and the Indianapolis Colts let him go, and they treated Peyton Manning very bad because of his neck injury. Well, guess what? Peyton Manning came back, he played football, and he played with a vengeance. And he took Denver to 2 Super Bowls. They won 1 Super Bowl. Now, Eli Manning in a similar situation, not necessarily an injury to his neck that debilitates his career, but overall, Eli Manning is getting the wrong end of the shtick here in New York. And what better than to come to the Denver Broncos, where your big brother came, and have a chance to win another Super Bowl? I think a Super Bowl is very likely. Now, obviously, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. This is all speculation. Nothing even suggests that Eli Manning is going to the Denver Broncos. But guess what? We can kind of hope. We can kind of hope and make note that, you know what? It wouldn't hurt. I would absolutely love to see Eli Manning as the Denver Broncos quarterback next year. It's definitely more comforting than knowing, or if we were heading into next season with the same 3 quarterbacks that we had on the roster this year. We're going to have to go through another summer of a training camp quarterback competition controversy. And I don't care. I don't want to go through that crap again, because it wasn't fun. We sat here every week and we talked about, okay, well, this guy is playing well in practice. This guy looks decent in OTAs, 11 on 11 training camp. Well, this guy in preseason didn't show up. Well, this guy in preseason did play. Well, this guy for 3 weeks in the NFL regular season looked like an NFL quarterback, and then he dialed back down to earth. And then this guy ended up coming back from the Cleveland Browns after being traded from Houston to Cleveland, and this guy couldn't play, and so this guy got benched, and then all of a sudden you go with this guy who's a first-round draft pick you moved up to pick in 2016, and then obviously he hasn't panned out. He didn't look great against the Oakland Raiders. He got hurt, so now you got to go back to this guy who's a seventh-round pick that was a quarterback last year, went 9-7 with the Denver Broncos, and now all of a sudden you find yourself in a quarterback predicament that makes you have an unsettled feeling. And I don't want to feel that anymore. Go with Eli Manning. Go with a Drew Brees. If not, you draft a quarterback like Lamar Jackson or Rosen or Darnold. I think that's the only thing that you do right now to put some mind at ease at the quarterback spot. You don't go up for Josh Allen. I just don't feel like Josh Allen out of Wyoming is a very good pick right now for the Denver Broncos, especially given the unproven track record against very good teams. Okay, go with the Darnold. Go with the Rosen. Go with a guy like Lamar Jackson. A guy who's a legitimate Heisman candidate this year. So, I don't know. Or bring in Eli. I'm all on board for Eli Manning becoming a Denver Bronco, carrying on the legacy. I would love to see that. In all honesty, it would be interesting to see who would get number 10, though, if Eli Manning were to become a Denver Bronco. It would be very, very interesting to see if Emmanuel Sanders would be willing to give up number 10, or if Eli Manning would take a different number. That would be something that I feel could be something that we could really look forward to. Obviously, it'd be a lot of money. I'm sure Eli Manning would have to pay, but the fact that Eli Manning was benched for Geno Smith is absolutely sickening. It makes me sick to my stomach. And Will Peterson on Twitter, he actually tweets something, at Peterson Will. He tweeted something very interesting, saying, spitballing, would Peyton Manning coach Eli Manning and the Broncos next year? I would love that. I would love that. Now, some other news real quick before we get off air here that I just discovered, unfortunately, is that Derek Wolf and Domantas Pekka are out for the year on injured reserve. Wolf with a neck injury, Pekka with a knee injury that took him out of the game. And man, the blows continue to come for the Denver Broncos, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I find it very upsetting. Now, I don't get it. I don't get it. But just to touch base on the Eli Manning thing, I know this is Locked On Broncos. Michael Rappaport, a guy who's so funny. Okay, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I can play this, but go to at Michael Rappaport and listen, because, you know, not knowing if, you know, with Michael Rappaport, a lot of vulgar things come out of his mouth. It's funny, it's great, but I don't know. I'm not going to play it here on Locked On Broncos, but I'm saying embrace Eli. We will take you with open arms, Eli Manning, in a Denver Broncos uniform. I hope you Broncos country agree with me. Sound out on Twitter. Follow me at CodyRourkeNFL and obviously at Lockdown Broncos. Let me know your thoughts. Do you want to see Eli Manning in a Denver Broncos jersey, given the fact that we already know what we have with the three quarterbacks in Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, and Brock Osweiler in Denver? What do the Denver Broncos do at quarterback? Is Eli Manning a good fit? I absolutely think so. Debate with me at Locked On Broncos. Also, be sure to check out what we have going on here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Adam Mattis over at Locked On Nuggets has you covered with all Denver basketball news regarding the Denver Nuggets, the Nuggets taking on the Jazz here tonight. You can catch his recap show tonight after the game at Locked On Nuggets. Adam Mattis, be sure to go over there on Twitter and follow at Locked On Nuggets as well, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So tomorrow we will cover the injury report. Obviously, we are still awaiting news on Aqib Talib's fate, waiting for the arbitrator to make his ruling regarding his appeal this morning of the 2-game suspension for the Denver Broncos. He'll be on altitude. He'll be on the Vic Lombardi Show tomorrow morning, 8:15 Mountain Time. If you want to tune in, he was unable to do it today because he was doing his appeal. He's on altitude with Vic Lombardi, Will Peterson, and the squad over there at 8:15 p.m. Mountain Time. Follow Vic Lombardi on Twitter at Vic Lombardi to get all the news, notes, and analysis going on down there in Denver with Aqib Talib. We'll find out by tomorrow morning. We'll know for sure what Aqib Talib's fate is for these next 2 weeks, if he's going to be reduced to one, reduced to nothing, or if it's going to be upheld. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos, as well as tell you about draft. And what we have going on over there with draft is absolutely exciting. I'm enjoying it, and I'll share more with you about that tomorrow on Locked On Broncos. Be sure to tune in. Once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night, and go Broncos.